I'm Ryan.
I just watched Scooby-Doo for the first time.
I'm Braxton. And, Christian.
And welcome to The Question at Hand, the least specific podcast.
That was a good one.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to The Question at Hand. And have you really, like, never, have you ever seen Scooby-Doo at all? I know that was the first time you've seen the Cyber Chase, but have you never seen any Scooby-Doo at all?
Was there a TV show at one point of Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Let me stop you right there. Yeah, that's kind of a, not making fun of you, but that is kind of a, it's a humorous question because yeah,
it started out
it's
as
almost
a TV
infamous
show.
For having too many TV shows yeah, iterations.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was a movie series. I knew it was a
right. You
a
didn't know what came first, basically, right?
But I didn't know if it was a TV, an episodic thing, or if it was just one-off movies.
Right. It was an episodic thing in the 70s. And then they made like 10 different iterations of the TV show over the years.
They did make a bunch. And everything at the beginning started out as like, oh, it's just these guys trying to scare people and they're just
there's always a man in a mask.
And
right?
So they would unmask them. But in the movies,
in the 90s, they started like direct to video movies in which
they were not
the creatures
just,
were real, basically. Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yes. It makes it way more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting to begin
with. Right, it was fun.
But you knew how every episode was going to end pretty much was, hey, they're going to take the mask off this
and
guy.
And explain the clues and all that.
Yeah. I do remember the television show being on. I don't remember anything specific, but I remember that. And
well, it's always kind of hovering around just in general.
I have no
it was like a creepy Blues Clues.
Kind of.
I mean, not that it was like that creepy.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Bro. Yeah, but. The Courage the Cowardly Dog. I never watched it because it literally freaked me out. I think
it scared
I watched,
me too much too.
I think I watched like one episode and whatever the crazy monster thing was in that episode, I was like, okay, yeah, I
well,
can't.
The famous one is like the Pharaoh thing, anymore. Which is like a 3D animated thing that like, it's not that scary, but in the context of the whole thing is like terrifying.
And Courage?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. It was but like
in
the
every
stuff
episode,
of nightmares.
There was some thing like that, which is, and the thing about Courage too is it would always be like another like nice show and then it gets to be like 7 o'clock at night and then they turn on Courage the Cowardly Dog. It's like I couldn't get up and change the channel quick enough.
Yeah, for
not
real.
Not because I hated it or anything, but it's like,
yeah,
I was like, I'm about to get spooked for real.
I was like, I am not about to sleep for the next
it's dark
2 weeks.
Outside and I'm not ready to watch. Yeah. Like, why don't they show it during the day? And it was only ever at night.
They wanted to give people nightmares, I guess. Yeah. You know, what are the movies where they're like Christmas movies? Like A Nightmare Before Christmas or something like that? Who's the director for those?
Oh, Tim Burton.
Yeah, I can't watch Tim Burton stuff, man. There's something about like his style and like
Edward Scissorhands.
The skeletons and... Well, Edward Scissorhands, I'm probably fine to watch. I mean, that I don't think that would bother me that much. But like his animated stuff, that it's like skeletons and like creepy stuff.
Oh, right.
Bro, I can't watch those. They freak me out. They freak me out more than Courage probably did. I mean, it was... I saw like the commercial for those and was immediately like, never watching that. Yeah, and I think someone recommended one time. They were like, dude, do you want to watch this movie? And I'm like... No, I don't want to freaking watch that movie. And I think I walked in and they had it on. And I was like, I'm leaving. I was like, not doing it. They just freak me out. I think it, because aren't they all skeleton people, basically?
Well, yes. Well, not all of them, but the main characters are like skeleton people.
Yeah, there's something about like their Slenderman skeleton kind of body style that's like freaky. Yeah, like if it was just like a normal skeleton, I don't think it would bother me that much.
No.
But it's the animation style that's like this tall, slender skeleton
and
thing
like,
that wants to get like really close in perspective. And
like,
no, I think I'm good. I think I am good.
And now it's on people's hoodies and
I know
it. Hot Topic
freaks me
out. It's part of the Hot Topic thing now.
Why is it part?
I don't know. I find that hilarious. I find that whole thing like really intriguing.
Now, I do know something that you will find hilarious before we get into like the main review of Talladega Nights and Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase.
Yes.
Which we definitely
that's what we're doing.
No, which we definitely want to hear Christian's perspective on, because this is his first watch on both of those.
This is also the first time in human history that those two movies have been combined into the same sentence. Like,
you're probably right.
That's probably true. I'm proud of that, to be honest. That's probably that's almost definitely true. Like, I really doubt that anyone has ever done that before. But Christian last night, when we were watching Monday Night Football, shows me this picture. And he says, bro, have you taken a panoramic selfie yet? And we're like, I was like, no. So this is the one that Christian sent me. And I think what we're going to have to do is, before we leave tonight, we're all going to have to take another one. And I'm going to put it up on like a blog post on our website or something so people can see these. And it'll go up on our Instagram. So we're at Question Hand on Instagram. And then our website is thequestionhand.com. But tell me what you think about this.
I feel like I'm not going to like this at all.
It just like, it makes you look like Squidward from that episode of SpongeBob where he eats all the Krabby Patties.
Like a hobbit.
That's what I said about him.
You look like Bilbo Baggins.
Look at this one. That's me.
Okay, you look like
Squidward.
Kind of, yeah.
It also like glitched out from like my waist to my shoulders. What? So
this
it's kinda
one I do find pleasing. I like. I shouldn't like looking at that.
He looks
but I
like
can't
a
stop
hobbit. His feet are gigantic. And
how did you do this?
How did you? I want to know where that you found out about this. Okay, and then he has this one too that he sent me. Earlier after I sent him the other one.
That's I like that you're smiling in it.
You have to, man. That one's good too. I just want to know, where did you get this idea? Did you see this somewhere? Did you just say, hey, let me take a panoramic selfie?
Yeah, I've seen it a few places. I've done it a few times before, but with other people.
Oh yeah.
I've never thought about doing it on myself.
To yourself. Because that's so funny.
It really works.
I told Juliana about it earlier, and I think she took like 100 of them, dude. It was like,
because I could see it being entertaining for hours,
bro.
Right?
She had one that it made her feet huge, like way bigger than the Christian's Hobbit one, and then Oliver, it like gets smaller and smaller.
It's smaller.
And then her waist is like Squidward times 10, where he eats all the Krabby Patties. So his like her hips were so wide. And then it jumps from there literally to her head. And it like squished her top portion of her body like super small. And it was absolutely hilarious. But yeah, we're gonna have to see the technique here.
He's taking the phone.
I think Christian has a solid technique because mine does not work correctly. So essentially, he is taking the phone.
He's trying to find good light.
Yeah, he's trying to find a good
light. But he starts with it pointing towards his feet.
Yep.
Turns on the panoramic.
And then slowly moves it up his body towards his head. And he's got the speed down for sure.
Yeah, dude.
He almost did that one so good that it looked like it just a picture of him, which is impressive. But Christian definitely has the technique down. And
like
I feel like
it forwards and back.
I feel like he has done this one too many times to be this good at it. That one is fantastic. Oh man.
No.
He looks like he has football pads on.
The perspective is so funny because it really does create like
this weird, like,
wait,
warped,
what's it called?
Like warped picture of yourself.
Yeah, but what is it? Like Uncanny Valley. So what? Like even if you know what Uncanny Valley is, right?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Do you know what it is, right?
No, but this is the perfect
okay,
idea.
Okay, moving on.
It's like if you've got a significant other or like family and you just send photos of yourself to them. It's like selfies. Do a panoramic selfie because it's going to make them uncomfortable.
My sister was like, this is how we're going to start doing fit checks from now on. Like where people take like mirror selfies and it's like
cheat day fit and check. It's one of the ones.
Well, I mean, it's just like people send pictures to other people to be like, is this okay whatever. So you do a fit check. But normally it's just like in like a full length mirror or whatever.
But it's almost
this
funnier.
Would be so much funnier.
It's almost funnier if it was like, instead of the ridiculous ones, or the ones where it's barely off.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about, the Uncanny Valley thing.
What is Uncanny Valley?
Okay, so it came from like, well, it came from earlier terms, but it's mainly in like video games, right?
Okay.
Where something that looks like a cartoon, we accept.
Yeah.
And we can understand it. Something that looks exactly like a human, we're like, oh, that's another human. But as the cartoon, you know, for example, or let's say a 3D polygon game character,
yeah,
as it inches closer and closer to looking like a real human, we believe it less and less.
Yeah.
Because as humans, we're designed to perceive somehow little things
which
that
is,
are off.
Which is why that all of these like sports games that are trying, like NFL or FIFA or whatever, that are trying to nail down these athletes' looks in game are like really hard to believe.
Yes. And it's even where hypothetically, if they were to perfectly recreate that human, we would still be able to tell. Oh my God, Christian.
What is this
That's
one?
A masterpiece.
Your face is all warped. That's fantastic.
It looks like, it's amazing that you did this in panoramic because it looks like you edited it in Photoshop. Oh doesn't it? It looks like you edited it.
Yeah, it looks like.
So this is a meme generator too.
My sister is making our like family calendar this year, and she was like, we're definitely putting some of these on the family calendar. That way you flip to like March and it's like panoramic selfie month and it's just a bunch of random hilarious photos. But yeah, Christian is definitely doing some experimenting over here, and it's
I kind of want
to
do it.
Dude, we have to do it before we get done. Okay. And it'll go up on Instagram and it'll go up on our website. So definitely keep an eye out for that because it's worth seeing.
To get the feet. Oh my God.
That should be the new way that people take feet pics.
We could gigantic
get feet. Dude, we could post these and then get on like Wiki Feet or whatever that weird
people
with foot fetishes site is.
Oh my God. Christian really is an expert at this.
I'm telling you, man, he's really freaking good at it.
No.
That's so funny.
Oh, man.
It's best if you make the feet like very uncomfortably large.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a hobbit, dude.
Could you imagine just like sending this to relatives?
You're like, God. I'm all grown up.
Or even better, that in a dating profile. Yeah. That would actually be pretty good.
This is really changing good. The game. What the heck happened to
that? Would be super, super good. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah.
There's that.
Keep an eye out for our Instagram at Question at Hand on Instagram and our website, thequestionathand.com. We'll have some stuff up on both of those with these panoramic selfies that we take. So anyway, what we were planning to talk about tonight, we actually just finished up one of the two movies. And last weekend, we sat down and watched Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yes.
And if you've seen it, which I feel like most people probably have at this point, but you never know. I mean, Christian had never seen it before.
Right.
I think that he had tried to watch it a couple times, but
at my house, I swear we tried to watch it once at my house and once at his like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And both times we like fell asleep or something.
I mean, I did the first time we watched Interstellar, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is, bro. I don't know what the deal is with the time change. I don't know if it's just because it's dark. I don't know if it's because we're getting old. I don't know what the deal is. I've been so tired like every day lately.
It messes up like your circadian rhythms.
I guess, yeah. I've just been like super, super tired. Yeah. But it's a great movie. I mean, this is probably one of the most quotable movies, just because there are, just by sheer volume.
Yep.
I mean, there are a lot of movies out there that you quote on a regular basis, one of which for us is definitely Kangaroo Jack. But you know, there's only like a couple lines in there that are used a lot. But Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights and all this random crap that he says, bro, I mean, it is just like a freaking quote fest. Well, if you get together with the right group of people,
yes,
and you could go back and forth on quotes for like hours.
Exactly.
Just because of the sheer volume in this movie.
Yeah. And like, it reminded me too, watching it, like how like prolific and prevalent it was back in the day.
Yeah.
People were quoting it all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Enough that you would never have had to watch the movie and could have quoted most of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I'm watching it on you like a spider monkey.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. everything Will Ferrell says, everything John C. Reilly says.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many.
Sometimes
things.
I like to dress up as Donna Summers. Get the little dress.
I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Ricky, you're not on fire. I'm on fire. It's invisible. How do you get his clothes off that quickly?
Help. And then he says, help me, Jesus. Help me, Allah. Help me, Jewish guy. Help me, Tom Cruise.
Help me, Tom Cruise. Yeah. It's just like, there's so much. Dear sweet baby Jesus. You don't have to. He was a grown man. Dear tiny infant Jesus. I can pray to whatever Jesus that I want to pray to.
Oh my gosh. There's so much in there. And the best parts, of course, like we talked about, is them when they just turn the cameras on and they riffed on it for like probably hours. Mm-hmm. And they put in the best takes, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell that. I know when we were watching it the other day, you mentioned something about the scene where Will Ferrell's character, Ricky Bobby, goes to see Sacha Baron Cohen's character. What is his name again? I just went blank.
Jean Giraud.
Yeah. you've watched it twice now, right? Christian?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
He's trying to elongate his own foot.
No, he's trying to elongate his middle finger.
I don't have to do that. Mine's already pretty long.
I think he was trying to make it go like all the way across the screen. Like he was flipping somebody.
Like E.T.
Yeah, I guess. Are you almost done so we can talk about this?
He's obsessed.
Oh, dude. I gotta try it out. I gotta work out some kinks.
Almost worked.
Yeah.
See, that one was close.
That was good. All right. So you've now seen this movie twice. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about it the second time? Did you like it better or did you like it?
I liked it better the first time. It was one of those that.
It's a shock factor thing for some of it.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
But after that, it's still pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also watched it like within a couple days. Mm, yes. So you didn't like let it sink in. Like I know Braxton mentioned it, but I hadn't seen it for, I don't know, 5 years, yep, maybe too, longer probably. Than that since I had actually sat down and watched it the last time. But yeah, I don't think that's a movie that I saw until either like late high school or in college. Like it had been out a long time before I actually sat down and watched it. And I knew a lot of like the quotable stuff.
Yeah.
Like the, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Like I feel like people used to just quote that all the time about whatever. Like teacher would be like, what's wrong with you? I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yep.
They casted that movie super well too.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Will Ferrell, who's always just Will Ferrell.
Dream team of him and John C. Reilly together. Yeah.
Those two guys are something. And then you had his wife, who ends up being the other guy's wife at the end of the movie. Spoiler. And then Sacha Baron Cohen, who, I mean, he's at like...
He's hitting 100.
He's like peak Sacha Baron Cohen around this time. Like
he made Borat in this movie like back-to-back in the same year, which is amazing.
Yeah, which are like... Borat is what he's most well known for
sure. But his weird French action in this movie is being so King strong Julian. That it's like, sometimes like I don't even know that it's him.
Yeah.
Like it's that weird of a...
Yeah. And you leaned over to me and you were like, watch Christian's reaction whenever he comes up.
Yeah.
It was great.
Spilled my macchiato.
Did you know that he was in that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth.
No.
Was that Elvis Costello in Mos Def? No. But it was.
I feel like he just likes kissing guys at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know that was the character that he was playing, but he does it in like, didn't he kiss some dude in Borat?
I think so, yes.
I mean, maybe he was
in
just
all the
like,
Borat ones, he loves to do it because he knows it makes
people uncomfortable.
People uncomfortable.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like he just, at this point, I don't know if it's just that he had been doing like filming Borat and was just like, why not? I mean, right. I know that they wrote that into the script, but like he seems like happy to do it almost.
He's open to anything.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, whatever,
which
man.
Which is part of why he's so like, yeah. I don't know.
Nothing can break him.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's insane. Like that's, that makes him like all powerful.
Yeah. he's something, man. Like, I mean, he is a polarizing figure.
Yes.
You either love him or you really don't like him. I mean, I don't know that there's any in between for Sacha Baron Cohen. I mean, you either think that he is a genius and absolutely love him and all the characters that he plays.
Yes.
Or you just like can't stand him and you're like, this guy's a freaking joke. Why is he casting all this bullcrap?
Which is kind of true for Will Ferrell. Did you ever hear like the hate people like, I hate Will Ferrell movies?
Yeah.
It's like, you do?
do you like movies?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what I didn't get. It's like, I understand, you know, Step Brothers in this movie, there's, you know, some vulgarity, not a bunch, you know, okay, whatever, there's that. But it's like, if they said I didn't like them even, or I don't know. The fact that they always, and they never say, oh, I don't like Will Ferrell. They always say they hate him.
Yeah.
And like how, even if objectively you don't think he's funny, what makes you hate him? Like why?
I think a lot of people probably think he's annoying.
I guess, but he's not even really that annoying in the characters he plays. Like he's weird, but he's not like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
I can see that coming from Step Brothers, I guess, because they both were kind of like,
you can't love kicking and screaming and not like Will Ferrell. I mean,
yeah,
it just comes with the territory.
Because I don't know. He's hilarious to me. He's
that is still probably one of, if not my favorite Will Ferrell movie. And he's in a lot of stuff that's really good. I mean, he's in Elf. Like everybody loves Elf. Do people just like not like watching Elf because it's got Will Ferrell in it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's like,
if anything, Elf is where he's the most annoying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd agree with that.
Well, I think people mistake hits against Will Ferrell as their own dislike for a certain genre of movies.
That's probably
true,
right?
I think
they're
confused about it because Will Ferrell knows his space and he occupies that space well.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing of Adam Sandler. If you love the genre of movies, you will love Adam Sandler.
That's
you will
exactly
love Will Ferrell.
Right.
And I think they're confused to where if they don't like those movies, if they feel childish to them or something,
yeah,
they just can't.
They write it off, basically. Yeah, it's the same thing with Adam Sandler.
I like him. Now, would he pull an Adam Sandler and do something like Uncut Gems?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he's that. You don't think he's that as good of an actor as Sandler, but I think he's funnier and better at riffing than Sandler.
Yeah, he's completely ideal if you want an
improv
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being around him?
No. I would die of laughter.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't, like...
You would just look at him.
Yeah. I would just look at him. And he would, have you ever just looked at his face?
Yeah.
It's just funny.
I think in Talladega Nights, whenever he is on fire after he has, like, the big crash and he's running around basically in his underwear and a helmet... You were like,
oh yeah, I said,
cracking up.
I said, look at him. Even his body is funny.
Yeah.
And there's not anything specific about it that was funny. It's just that his body, I don't know. It was.
Yeah.
It's like he's that dedicated that he even makes himself just look silly.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like tall.
He's a huge guy, actually.
This tall guy, and he is like, especially for that movie, he's like wildly out of shape compared to what you would think an actor would be.
Yes.
Just because when you think of actors, I mean, most of those guys are like pretty in shape. Whether they're like six-pack abs, like jacked like The Rock. I mean, most of the guys are, you know, in pretty good shape mm-hmm. for the most part. And then you've got Will Ferrell, who looks like a 40 or 50-year-old really dad hairy. That never works out and just hangs out with his kids and takes them to play like baseball and coach Little League. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what he looks like most of the time.
And him running around a racetrack with a helmet on in like
underwear, whitey tighties,
like, in tighty whities is so great.
Yeah, yeah. It's
but no, I really enjoyed it, and it holds up definitely. I think, and again. We talked about this before. The commercials is what I still think is the funniest thing.
I mean, dude, it's so dense. Like, it's one of those movies that, yeah, you know, there's movies out there that are really funny and that are classics that people, when they think of comedies, I mean, they think about these specific movies. They're not that dense. I mean, a lot of them are hilarious.
But it's spread out, but essentially,
it's, yeah, right? It's not just like every other line is like, laugh out loud, hilariously funny.
But some of these, yes.
But a lot of this is like laugh out loud, hilariously funny. And it's just like boom, 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 boom. And it's almost so quickly paced that you don't have time to pause the movie and rewind to it. Yeah. I mean, you don't like there were times, I don't remember if we did this the other day, but when I have watched it in the past, where you have to rewind it because you cannot hear what they're saying because you're laughing so loud.
Yes. Now, think about this though. What would you give to see like this or Step Brothers or something like in the theater on opening night with like a full crowd of people?
Dude.
Imagine like the uproar of laughter that would like happen in that place.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear half of the jokes because
I also think your
mind would explode.
I also think if they re-released it in theaters like sometime soon, just for people to go and like watch together as a community of people who love the movie. And are going to laugh like that, that might also be a lot of fun to be a part of. Like that would be super cool. I wish that they would do more stuff like that. I know like during the pandemic, the movie theaters were watching like Harry Potter and stuff like in the middle of the day. I'm like, dude, I want to go watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last one I saw was the last one when it came out, which has been a long time ago now. Like that would be super cool. I'd be down to go do that. But it's at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes. And I'm like, well, I can't go at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, guys. Come on. Yeah. Play it at like 9 o'clock at night when I can actually go watch a movie.
Yeah.
But Talladega Nights, man, it's so good. What did your dad think about it?
He thought it was funny.
Yeah.
What did he think of the commercials?
He loved the commercials. There were some lines in there that really got him. Specifically the one when he's in the rehab facility and the doctor's like, it's completely psychosomatic. And John C. Reilly's like, when you say psychosomatic, do you mean he can start a fire like with his thoughts?
He goes, no. That's a pretty good one.
If you don't chew Big Red.
That had to have been improvised.
Maybe.
It probably was.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it would be interesting to see a script, like an original script.
Probably nothing.
And then see like what the movie turned out to be. Because you know that those guys, especially, I know there was that one scene where he like goes and meets up with him. I think I was talking about this and then we went on something else. But where they're sitting in the garden.
Yes. And it's obviously, it had to have been improvised. It had to have
been improvised. Because what did they say?
And invent a currency.
Invent the currency for dogs and cats to use. And Will Ferrell goes, that's dumb. Why is it dumb? It's dumb. Yes, but why? I don't know. And then that's it. And that's the scene. But that cracked, when we were watching it, that cracked me up more than anything because I'd never noticed that before. He's chewing gum too, which makes him more just aloof. And he goes,
I don't know. And he kind of looks off.
Moving on to the conversation.
Yeah. And that's one where you almost wonder, did they film that all at once? Or did they like cut that together to make it funny? Like surely that all happened at once, right? Like one take.
Yeah. But I can see it happening that way too. That maybe it was two different takes or something. And
it was there was a cut after he said, "I don't know," but everything before that was entirely improvised in one take, and then it cuts back to the serious line. So they probably had a reset after they improvised to a dead end.
And they probably improvised like, you know, two or three different versions, and then decided that was the funniest one.
Probably. But it's just good, man. Like, there's so many good things. And it was funny. I had, like, right after that, I went and played disc golf with Clint, and he just started, like, quoting it. He was like, "Yeah, we just watched it the other day."
That's awesome.
I was like, dang.
Keeping it going strong. Yeah. Heck yeah, dude. That makes me proud that I mean, I know other people watching it, but to know that, like, it's still chugging along, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one that'll be around for a long, long time.
Yeah. I hope.
It would be nice.
It's a special one.
I feel like you said something about Adam Sandler movies, though. Like, Adam Sandler movies, when we were younger, used to be played on TV, like, all the time. Like, it wasn't...
That's why people knew about them too. They were always on TV.
Most people didn't even have, like, probably didn't even own any of the copies of the movies. They were just watching them on TV, and it would come on like
all the time,
like every day or once a weekend. Or, I mean, there's no telling how many times we watched freaking Happy Gilmore and
The Waterboy.
Used to come on. Yeah,
Longest Yard. That's like a cable special,
bro. The Longest Yard is so good. It's so freaking good. I saw a meme the other day that was about the guys like in the NFL who are either currently having legal trouble or have had legal trouble in the past, and they made like a Longest Yard like spoof poster, which was pretty great.
That's great.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is where we are now.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. But then today we sat down and watched Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase, because I've been asking to watch it for like 6 or 8 months now.
Yes. And this, some backstory on this.
Backstory. Kid,
and I know it's similar for you. I had this on VHS.
Yep.
And I watched it.
Over and over again. Yep.
And it was great.
It's great.
As a movie, I think some of the other ones are better overall movies.
Which ones do you think are better?
I think Witch's Ghost and Zombie Island are better as movies. But this, as a ride and as a concept for Scooby-Doo itself...
I would love to see a live-action remake of this one.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be freaking awesome.
Yeah, make it like Jumanji.
Yeah. You know how cool
that is? It's literally like Jumanji.
It would be super cool. It is a lot like Jumanji.
Speaking of which, you know what I learned? I swear this is true. The guy who wrote the new Jumanjis, before that, you know what his only previous... Or not his only, but you know what his last previous writing credit was?
Scooby-Doo.
Kangaroo Jack.
No way.
I swear to God.
Is that why I like these new Jumanjis so much?
I don't know. But I know that fact is somewhat like probably true.
That's awesome. I know that fact is somewhat probably true.
Oh, let me look it up. Let me look it up.
Dude, that's fantastic. I mean, Kangaroo Jack obviously is our greatest movie ever made.
By the way, 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, what's the audience score, though? I mean, the critic
29.
Score... 29. The critic... Really?
Yeah.
What?
I thought it would be like 40 what or 50. Frick?
I thought it would be higher than that. What do people not like about it?
It's really not that good of a movie, objectively.
Dude, yes it is. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
it has the greatest storyline ever in any movie. These guys are about to die by his stepdad... And he ships them
I've seen the movie.
He ships them with a thing of money to pay a guy to kill them.
Yes, I know.
And in that process, they don't die because they're idiots and stick a jacket with bunch of money on it on a kangaroo and then chase him around the Australian outback for the entire movie. Like literally the entire movie. What's not good about that? There's mirages. There's adult humor. Kids can enjoy it.
Oh my God.
What's not good? They have snakeskin lily berries.
Listen to this. Okay. Listen to this though. This is real. These are just the main highlights here. He was a writer on Con Air.
No way.
The Nick Cage movie where he's the put the bunny down. He was also a writer on Gone in 60 Seconds.
Have we watched Con Air? What was the air? Oh, we watched Airplane. Is that what we watched?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Con Air is also amazing. I've never seen Con Air. Then Kangaroo Jack.
Put the bunny down.
In 2003. Next writing credit, 2017, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
That's awesome.
And then Venom. And then Jumanji.
Wait, he wrote Venom?
Yes.
Oh, frick. I need to go see Venom then.
It's so uncredited revisions. Armageddon.
I haven't seen Armageddon.
It's another ridiculous. It's like the most like Michael Bay of all Michael Bay movies.
Oh, yeah.
I like Michael Bay. Spider-Man 2002.
Are the original one?
Yep, the original.
Tobey Maguire one. Freaking good.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's why that one's so good.
And yeah. Anyway,
his revision was the Green Goblin must have a high-tech hoverboard that he flies around on.
The Green Goblin must be Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Those movies are so good, man.
Anyway,
need to watch Venom. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Isn't Venom in Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
The like gook stuff that like covers his whole body and like turns him crazy.
But it's like, and it's now shoehorned
in. And now the Venom movies are just like that as a villain.
Yes, which I think was actually more true to the comic books. I mean, again, I don't know.
So it didn't like take over Spider-Man and then he turned into Venom?
Well, maybe. But I think the more Venom, the later legacy was Venom as himself. Like maybe it started that way. But then Venom was its own character.
What kind of powers does Venom have?
I don't know.
Does he have Spidey powers?
I don't know. I know he eats people.
Like legit eats people?
I think.
Holy crap.
And he uses his things, probably like tentacles, to like reach out and grab people and sling stuff around. Because he's made of goo.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, I guess I need to watch Venom now. It's probably super good if he wrote it.
It's funny though. Like Venom, I'm like, whatever. But seeing that guy had an involvement in it does pique my interest.
Yeah, I mean that.
Which that shouldn't be the case. Like no sane person would.
Is he doing the third Jumanji? Like surely he is, right? Because he's done the other two.
If he doesn't, I'm not going to go and see it.
I mean, if they want it to be good, they'll keep
his,
the same.
His name is, just to give him credit.
The Sherlock Holmes 3 deal. With them picking a different guy to direct it.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's not going to be as good. It's not going to fit into the trilogy that it needs to fit into.
Even if it's a great film,
yeah.
You can tell the difference. I know you can.
Yeah. If there's no like slow motion Sherlock Holmes, like I'm going to break this guy's neck I'm going to get slammed against the wall and then I'm going to use that momentum
and
punch him in the face and knock him out. If there's not any of that with like the bum bum ba-dum, bum 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 ba-dum, bum 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 ba-dum, bum bum, I'm gonna be really upset. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying.
This man's name is Scott Rosenberg, by the way.
That guy that wrote it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he should write the live action Scooby Doo and the Cyber Chase.
Yeah, he should.
That'd be great. Can I write him?
Speaking of which, bringing it back around.
Can I write him?
I don't know. Hit him up on Twitter or something.
Yo, what's his? I'll listen to it back.
Scott Rosenberg. But,
yo, Scott.
Yeah. This is a.
Can you help me out with something, homie?
It was fun rewatching it. And something that funny is because of course I did. I purchased it on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I shouldn't have done that because there were several times where we paused it and rewound it to see weird animation flubs. Like we saw too much detail. Switch.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Going this way. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Go ahead. Back to you.
Okay. Yeah, so we saw these weird like anime. We just like
where
tossed,
characters would appear out of nowhere.
We tossed these coasters Braxton has that look like records at each other. If you heard a thud, when he first tossed it, I thought he hit the record button and we were gonna have to start a new recording. So, is what it is.
Don't push the button. Put the bunny down. That's from Con Air.
Brett says that
Nick Cage.
All the time. I'm pretty sure Brett says that a lot.
It's Nick Cage.
Put the bunny down. Anyway, so stuff that we did not notice in the original movies anyway, or maybe, you know, we just haven't watched the VHS tapes in a long enough time to look for that kind of stuff. Yeah. And with it being blown up to like 100 inches on your projector.
It's all extremely obvious.
Man, it was like, it was super just right there in your face.
Blatant mess-ups.
So there's one of the opening scenes, the professor's walking down the hallway. And I see this white bar up here at the bottom. And I'm like, did you see that? And they're like, no. So we backed it up.
What it was the zoom out. Like the camera was like panning out, but they went too far out past like the animation cell. So mm-hmm. There was a white line.
There was just a white line at the bottom.
It's like, come on.
Yeah. And then a few minutes later, they're driving a mystery machine over a bridge. And there's the white...
Going over a bridge.
And there was the white lines that like divide the highway. One of them goes from being straight to like half of it moves up. Which was super weird. I was like, did you guys see that? No.
And then near the end, and then Shaggy and Fred
and then Shaggy
out of nowhere.
At the beginning is walking. And he like is walking
super funny. The walking cycle is animated wrong,
yeah,
basically.
I don't know what... I think they may have done that on purpose just to be funny. And then what else was there? There was the thing at the end where they like appear from nowhere, even though they're clearly like walking into frame. They just like magically
appear.
They're
already in frame and they appear, basically.
But you know, they might have done that on purpose because maybe the render distance on the video game wouldn't have actually been...
No,
for real. Like, have you ever played a video game and that's how
I know,
people just like come into, like, maybe that's what, I mean, maybe they didn't do it on purpose, but
yeah.
I mean, that could be an argument is that the render distance on the game for like a character walking in would not be that deep into the 2D world, the 3D 2D world,
right.
The 2D 3D, I don't know. So, I mean, you could put that argument up there if you needed to come up with an argument.
But the movie is basically they go into, you know,
a video game.
The whole thing is, and the cyber chase, they go into cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I mean, I could be wrong. But to me, cyberspace always had a connotation of being the internet. But they don't go into the internet. They go into a program file of a video game.
Yeah.
But I can excuse it because it was 2001 and I know they'd had no idea how computers worked. Like, you know what I mean?
Probably not. They're probably doing good.
Most people don't know how computers work now. So
that is definitely true.
So in 2001, they really did know.
Yeah, I mean, now we stream stuff and...
I don't even know how it works.
I don't either.
Yeah, I actually don't, but...
I mean...
all I know is it's similar to WonkaVision, where the pixels are passing above and he's... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Where is everything stored? In the internet.
Servers.
Like all over the place?
Yeah.
So Google has these massive servers that contain the whole internet?
Yeah. That's just weird. So what happens if they like blow up? I don't know,
man.
There's also in this movie...
And how do you have an internet service provider? Who provides the internet for them?
That's why it's a conspiracy.
I mean, It just doesn't make sense. If anyone out there knows all of this, feel free to come on the podcast. I'd be more than happy to hook you up where you can explain all of the workings of the internet. Because we sure don't know how it works. So anyway, Scooby and Cyber Chase, they get zapped.
They get zapped into by the magic laser.
Laser.
Lasers.
They get zapped by a big laser and it goes into the video game.
Yeah. And I don't know, the coolest part about it, which is what when I was a kid, was like the big, you know, all the levels are somewhere different, which is just really cool.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's animation. They could go anywhere they want and they, you know, that's just fun. And the whole thing at the end where they meet their, you know, cyber versions of themselves. And
yeah.
They do a good job with the writing of basically taking every opportunity and gag out of the concept of having two of each character,
yeah,
which is cool. And like, what other movie has that in it?
And the cyber chase is one where, because I mean, you've got the witch's ghost, You've got Zombie Island, and those are two of the more popular ones. And they, the only like core characters that are in this movie are the Scooby Gang, the Mystery Gang, whatever you want to call them.
Mystery Inc.
And then there's just like a random storyline with monsters
that
and
they're put into,
curses basically. And whatever that they're put into. Where this one, I mean, they are kind of put into their own deal, but at the end, it kind of like ties a lot of the show and like with all the monsters and stuff that they put into the final level. And they've got the new like Phantom Virus character in there, and they're kind of all on this last level in the game. And it's kind of cool.
Well, it's kind of meta, right? Because it really is that movie is the last of the four. Is the last of the four direct-to-video movies.
Yeah.
Before there's a complete reset again with What's New Scooby-Doo. So what's it really is kind of like putting the lid, like,
we're gonna solve that mystery. That's the greatest Scooby-Doo theme song, man. Simple Plan killed that one.
Is like, it bookends the past 40 years. I don't know.
I wish that they would make our theme song. How cool that would be to have a Simple Plan theme song.
Be pretty simple.
What's this Scooby-Doo? We're coming after you. We're gonna solve that mystery. I see you, Scooby-Doo. Charlie's back to you. What's this Scooby-Doo? Oh, no, no, no.
It's not sticky. Okay, Christian just threw one of my coasters at the ceiling to see if it would stick. It's not, I mean, it's meant to like,
Even if it hits flat, I think it will stay up there for half a second.
It's not sticky though. And the ceiling is not like this table. Like the ceiling is rough. It is a funny sound though. But yeah.
I think he hit the ceiling fan.
It won't stick.
Well, myth busted. Let's go see what Cary Grant and Tori are up to. Grant invented a coaster slinging robot.
Wasn't it Scooby-Doo? Anyway, you threw me off when you said wasn't it Scooby-Doo.
I know. But it serves as a bookend basically to the past like 40 years of stuff. It's kind of cool in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that movie's so good, man.
Now, something else we have to talk about here, though, is there's the thing after the end credits. And again, they're really milking this because the movies itself are only an hour and 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which means including the credits and the scene in the back means that they're...
like 50, 55 minutes runtime, probably.
Yes, they're less than an hour long.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... they always claim to be a new feature-length movie. They're not feature-length. They are not.
And we got to the credits and I said, yeah, isn't there like a post-credit scene after this? And you're like...
And I think I even said,
I don't think so. And so I went out to grab like the podcast gear out of my truck and I came back in and they had started and you had it paused and you were like, dude,
no,
how have I never seen this before?
Like maybe I watched it once and forgot it, but I really didn't remember it because I was someone who would watch tapes till the end to look at the things. And
I wouldn't say that I ever watched them to the end because I expected there to be something at the end. I mean,
but you would let it play.
Like Marvel movies kind of did that where I literally will watch stuff to the end. But I mean, it would just like have music or something going we would go and be walking around or something while the credits were going. And then
it would come back on.
It would come back on. You were like,
oh, I found a secret.
I have awakened the beast.
Special, it's like, a behind the scenes, but it doesn't make sense because it acts like the mammoths are real, but I don't know. None of it really makes any sense, but it basically is every character explaining what their favorite part of the movie was with these weird combination of they animated some of it, but then there was also some like painted stills.
Yeah.
It was weird. And there's a whole Velma thing that we're not even going to get into. We don't have time to unpack all of that.
You don't want
to
get into it at all?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Okay, well, maybe a little bit. But everything Velma said had like, not innuendo. But
it was definitely some sexual connotation there.
Yes, in like a way, not where we're now like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if? Like, no, it's there.
Oh, it's like it's the animators put obvious. It there.
Yes. And it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. She talks about riding the mammoth and how that it brought out her wild side.
Yeah, like it turned her
into an animal.
Yeah. And then there's a mammoth trunk, and we're not even going to get into that. But
you don't want to explain it?
No, it goes without saying. If I say mammoth trunk, that's all that needs to be said.
And it kissed her on the face. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah.
And the animated Daphne without the jacket.
It was funny because you kept pausing it and being like,
is this happening?
Is this really happening right now? And then it happened. It happened. I feel like the animators just put that one in there to make themselves.
Yeah, just to be like
feel better. Like, why don't you put something freaky in a kid's movie?
Yeah, like why would you do that? I guess it goes back to the long line of on the cover of, you know, Little Mermaid on the castle, there was a
what?
You know.
What?
Do you know what there was?
No. I don't guess I've ever seen this before.
Also,
is it a penis?
Yes, it is.
I mean, wasn't there a thing about Lion King where there was like a penis in the clouds?
No, but it said there's constellations that spelled out sex.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
They removed it in later releases because they're Disney and they can edit any of their content that they want.
They were like, no one will get this.
The same thing in The Rescuers. Somebody edited.
You will never get this. You will never get this. And then we get this. And they take it out.
Well, they edit in The Rescuers in the movie. There's a part when like they're flying and they fly past a door or like a window that has like a naked woman in it. And they had to edit that out because the animators would put that stuff in the movies because they didn't ever think there would be home video. They didn't think people would ever be like combing over it and rewatching it and pausing it.
Yeah.
The same thing in Roger Rabbit. There's a part where, Jessica Rabbit falls off the bike and there's like other things animated. But now, of course, that's all edited out in the new versions. But also on eBay, this cover is going for $250.
No way, bro.
So it's in the castle.
Of course.
It's not worth $250.
No way. I bet my grandma has this exact one at her house.
It was like the first one that came out.
Yeah, we have the first one that came out, I'm pretty sure. What the frick, dude? These people, man. These people.
But
there's no way that that's the only one either.
No, people put ridiculous prices on eBay just to see if someone will pay for it.
I didn't mean that case. I meant like the only like...
Oh, example? No, there's
example
tons
of it. Yeah.
There's tons of them.
Is there something in the Little Mermaid movie? Like surely there's something somewhere
in there. I don't think
there
is. I mean, maybe, but that's the much more famous one is on the cover.
They put a penis on the cover.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah. So Christian, what did you think about the movie?
It was pretty good.
Would you say that all the Scooby and Shaggy jokes, most of them land?
Yeah, it's really predictable, but it's
exactly
addicting.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost in some ways you're like, okay, I know where this is going, but in that way it's almost like comforting.
Yeah.
Like you know how the joke's gonna play out, but it's still funny.
Yeah. And they get in disguise a couple times, and at the end of the movie you're kind of like, I kind of wanted like another disguise or two in there. Yeah. I mean,
well, you remember I told you like as it was happening, I was like, they're gonna go behind there and Scooby's gonna be dressed as the Emperor, and that's not because I saw it before.
Yeah.
Like I just know it well enough that it's like they're gonna be dressed up as the Emperor and the servant. Come out, that's exactly what happens. And then I said, now the disguise is going to come off and the bad guys are going to turn and look.
Yeah.
And then the robe fell off and the skeleton guy goes,
Those skeleton guys made some funny noises too. Like they come out and they scream, but it's not like a terrifying like,
it's also scream. Not like a either. Yeah. It's almost Skeletor.
What was that?
It's like a well, I started to the Skeletor voice. He-Man.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, I don't know. It's like a, almost like a kid screaming or something.
Yeah.
It's not like a terrifying, like these guys are going to murder me scream.
Yeah. They probably had to dial it back because all the previous three movies were too scary.
Dude.
This is the lightest one out of all four of those.
I think that's why I like this one. Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I like this one.
It's much more rewatchable because of that reason, right?
Definitely. But like, dude, the Zombie Island one, I remember as a kid, like I watched that one quite a bit. It still like freaked me out every time. Like,
the animation is amazing, but it's scary.
I'll tell you what, man. The best part of that movie is how like pretty that it is at the beginning. And they've got the peppers that they're eating.
I want to eat those peppers.
Dude, me too. They look fantastic.
That's like a parody of, right? They go to an island full of pepper plants. Tabasco brand and peppers are grown on like an island that was set up like as a plantation in like the 1860s.
Oh, really?
So that's what they're kind of riffing on in Scooby-Doo.
Hmm.
And that's where all like Tabasco is still made is from peppers on that island and all that stuff.
Huh. That's kind of cool. But yeah.
But there's not zombies there.
Those peppers, we don't know that there's not
zombies
there.
But there is cat people.
I mean, we don't know that there's not zombies there.
There's Khajiits. Isn't that what they're called in Skyrim?
I don't know. I mean, the whole deal of that movie is that there's like a creepy like ghost pirate that's haunting the house.
Yes.
And then it turns out that there's a whole lot more going on than that.
Exactly.
The ghost pirate's actually the good guy.
Yes. And he's still like a murdering player.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it's good.
Yeah. That one's really good. Witch's Ghost is really good too. That one, I remember there's like a cherry picker scene.
Obsessed with the weirdest.
He was like, there's the a cherry picker
and
stuff.
There was a boot buckle.
A shoe buckle.
Like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I mean, there was also like a giant witch and a book and he's like trying to rule the world. But, you know, the cherry picker, man, you just gotta appreciate the little details.
Yeah.
I don't remember why I remember that there's a cherry picker.
But you're absolutely right.
Or the Hex Girls.
Now everyone remembers that.
You really like the Hex Girls.
Well, we're not going to talk about that.
We have an episode from like a year or so ago that has you singing that as the intro.
Yeah.
We're the Hex Girls, and we're gonna put a spell on you.
Gonna put a spell on you.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like a concert.
Heck yeah, dude.
It's freaking fire.
It's legit.
It's freaking fire, dude. You know what would have been better, though, is if they made another Scooby-Doo movie, and they used the guy that wrote the FreeCreditReport.com jingles to make the music for that one.
The Hex Girls performed it.
Yeah. No, not the Hex Girls performed it. They had like an animated band in there.
Oh, but it was them?
And it was
them. That would have been great.
Well, I mean, it didn't have to be like that exact guy, but like the same band with the same music, because that would have been fantastic. That
would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like hunting some ghosts and all. It's like, should have gone to freecreditreport.com.
Yeah.
It's like a cowboy movie.
Oh
like
that,
like the Scooby-Doo game.
Yes.
The Old West one.
Showdown and Ghost Town.
The Minor 49er. Yeah. But yeah, Cyber Chase is fantastic. For some reason, I really like the, not even like the end part. I really like the freaking dinosaurs. They look so cute.
They were cool.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that Scooby was next to a baby pterodactyl.
That was that like twice his size.
If it was full grown, the wingspan would be like three times the size of a jumbo jet.
Yeah.
It would be that
pretty
big.
Pretty much, yeah.
Scooby, a Great Dane, next to an infant pterodactyl. That would mean the infant pterodactyl's wingspan would have to be what? Like 30 feet? Like it was huge next to him.
I don't know, because I mean, he's pretty
big. If a Great Dane is like 6 foot long. Like
I don't know that they're 6 feet long.
Okay, 5 foot.
Yeah, I mean, its wingspan was probably like 15 or 20 feet.
As a baby
pterodactyl. Yeah, I know.
It would blot out the sun.
But somehow that big thing is not strong enough to push a boulder off its wing.
No. Well, it's a video game.
But Scooby is.
It's the same video game concept of like, I can't go this way. And it's like a chair.
Yeah.
In a doorway, and it's like, I can't move here.
Yeah.
The arms are also pretty frail.
Right.
Like, the bones, they need to be very thin and...
to fly,
not
right?
Not very dense to fly.
Yeah.
So, physiologically, that checks out.
Right.
I mean, they do have, like, hollow bones or whatever to be flying.
Right.
Don't birds have hollow bones?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the deal?
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have hollow bones.
Oh, look at you, boy. You're doing pretty good then.
I drink milk.
I don't. I don't like milk. I'm lactose intolerant. If I drink milk.
I think that's actually a myth. Like milk doesn't help your bones at all.
It's got calcium.
It may deteriorate it. Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious.
Yeah. I was thinking of something. I don't remember what it was. I have no idea.
Yeah. I've never rewatched it. Now we have to rewatch, which it depends. We may have to wait. We don't have to, but we may wait until, you know, Halloween comes around again.
We gotta wait a whole year.
We'll watch the
to watch Witch's Ghost?
To watch Witch's Ghost and Zombie Island.
Okay.
We don't have to though.
I guess I can wait that long. I mean, I waited like 6 or 8 months to watch Cyber Chase.
So. Well, I have all the other ones. But when we watch those though, keep in mind we're gonna be watching them on VHS.
I'm fine with that.
Just because
I was fine watching Cyber Chase on VHS.
That's the pure way.
Maybe it wouldn't have been so glitchy.
We wouldn't, I guarantee we wouldn't have noticed that.
I mean, dude, it looked like they took a panoramic selfie of the original movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Full circle.
Bringing it back around.
It's pretty cool. But does it compare to when Timmy Turner went into a video game?
You mean the video game or when he went to the TV,
channel chase is
better.
Yeah.
Well, not better.
Didn't they?
It
like
has a better job of using the concept of going into.
What
the
did
TV.
He turn into? Wasn't it like? Wasn't there like a Dragon Ball Z parody or something?
Yes. There's also a Scooby Doo parody in Channel Chasers.
Yeah. Yeah. Channel Chasers was good, dude. We
and
need
it
to
starts
watch.
Starts off with them in an apocalypse as like buff like adult men.
Yeah,
it's just hilarious,
dude. We need to watch that one again. Good grief. I haven't seen that one since it was on TV.
Whoa.
I mean,
just
that's
thinking about
been a
that,
long
I just
time.
Had this weird like nostalgia thing hit over me, and not because
Did
I
give
thought
you like
of
a
that,
chill.
Because I think of Channel Chasers often, but
did it give you a chill?
It was that feeling of that moment of like it being like almost dark. You're waiting. You've been seeing like all week. Oh, this movie's gonna premiere.
Make sure to tune in
and
Friday
watching
night,
it like
PM.
That, or watching like. I didn't watch Rugrats, but the movie was kind of cool or stuff like that where it's like...
The one with Reptar?
I think they all had that in it. I think that's the Paris one. I'm thinking of the one where they got stuck in a tree.
Where they got
Wait,
stuck in a tree.
Wait, we've talked about this before. Because I was like, I have a memory where they were stuck in a tree, which we determined did happen. Oh my God, we're going to have to find this again. In the Rugrats movie, he has a baby brother named Dill.
Yeah.
Pickles. Uh-huh. That's the baby's name. And they get lost in the woods. Baby's lost in the woods. And then he huddles with his little brother under the tree when it's raining. That happened.
And like hugs him and cries?
Maybe.
But Dill's crying?
They bond.
But yeah, because Tommy like hated him before
that.
Do you
remember what I couldn't figure out? And I don't even know if we figured this out.
I'll figure it out.
This is deja vu.
This will be our investigative episode.
But the problem is we already did this.
No, I don't remember ever talking about this.
No, you haven't heard what I'm about to say,
I listened
though.
To every episode multiple
you
times.
You haven't heard this. I had a memory of somehow connecting the Rugrats to an episode with... Oh, wait, never mind. I just remembered. I'm so dumb. We talked about this before, this exact scenario.
I don't remember ever hearing about this.
It's because I haven't said anything yet. I'm going through it in my own mind. The daughter party, where they went through like the Sierra Nevadas and they ate each other.
Do you know what?
Wait.
What are you talking about?
Help me explain this.
Okay. Bhutan does not recognize the U.S. as an official country.
What?
What?
Where is Bhutan?
Southeast Asia.
They don't recognize like most of the world.
Dude, I didn't know. So we don't exist to them.
Hmm. It's weird.
Well, we do.
But it is kind of funny though that we don't exist to them, but I had to ask, where is Bhutan? Anyway, okay, the Donner Party. You're familiar with that, Christian, right?
The who?
Oh my God.
What are you talking about?
It was the Donner family who was traveling west on the Oregon Trail. And you could go the North Way or the South Way. And like the South Way was quicker, but it was more dangerous because it went right through the mountain pass. And they went through and it was too close to winter. And it basically somehow, I don't know, through a diary or somewhere else came out that literally everyone except for two people ate each other. They went full cannibal. And that really happened. And that was somehow related to a Rugrats episode. But what it was is there's like a pseudo retelling of it in an episode of All Grown Up, which is the Rugrats sequel show where they were teenagers. Better.
Dude, do you remember that episode where Dil invented things and he invented that fish belt?
No, but I kind of want to know.
So he invented he had a fish in an aquarium.
It's funny to listen to people describe.
This episode, he invented chillos, which was pillow shoes, I think was right. There was a bunch of like random stuff that he like sold to the masses and probably made millions of dollars because everyone wanted these things. But he had a pet goldfish. And he wanted to be able to take it to school or wherever with him. So he made a belt that was an aquarium that it could literally swim the entire like way around his belt. And I remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever. Can you imagine? Because I love fish and fish tanks. I think they are fantastic. If they weren't so loud and we didn't have problems with like our water like building up some kind of fungus or something all over it. Hard water. I don't know. It like something builds up in our aquariums whenever we've had them before. If it didn't do that, I would have an aquarium all the time because I love fish. I think they're awesome. But I remember seeing that and thinking that that was the coolest thing that I had ever seen up to that point in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish someone would actually make that because I would wear one everywhere. But then I was like, well, then you run into the issue of if you sit down and it pops, you lose a fish. Like your fish is dead. It's a aquarium belt. If you sit down and you like break the aquarium,
then it
and you're in a restaurant or something, like your fish is dead. Like, there's no way that your fish is not dying in that scenario. But I thought that was just super cool. Anyway, all that, All Grown Up, not all that.
It's a different show, but yes. Yeah, we've discussed this before. It's an episode called Interview with the Campfire. And there's a scary ghost story.
I don't remember you ever.
Tells a simplified version of the Donner Party story.
I've never heard you talk about that. Show. Are you sure you talked about it on the podcast with us?
Pretty sure. This scenario has happened before.
This scenario that you're talking about right now, I have never heard of.
Okay.
So I really don't think look that to your happened. Left.
Either way, whether I have it or not, I've gone through this exact scenario in my head before.
I feel like we need to talk about this 1 week and like go into detail. Because I do not remember this at all. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe and have a podcast. Follow us on Spotify. We are at Question at Hand on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Keep an eye out on our Instagram and our website, thequestionathand.com, for our panoramic selfies. Leave us a review. Those are always appreciated. We'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys. Hee 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 hee.